Good morning, all. It's Mook again with the third episode of the Game Geekery podcast. Work is done. I'm here to greet the day. Thought I would throw a little Crom action your way. I listened to the AMA with Crom, which immediately followed the GURPS panel that I did on the last episode. So the beginning, most of it was about Crom himself personally, and there was a lot of that in the AMA, which was very cool. He's an interesting guy. So there was tango stuff and cocktail stuff and Canadian stuff. And so naturally, I didn't address much of that here. This is purely on the GURPS. So the first question that piqued my interest, if you had to pick just one mechanical change for a fifth edition, what would it be? Man, I just do not want a fifth edition. Regardless, Crom's answer was, might not make everyone happy, but I'd probably zoom out the general level of detail. I think just the general level of character detail is perhaps too high for people trying to get into a game at entry level. And I think that's what keeps GURPS from being more popular. The key phrase for me here is people trying to get into a game. Mostly these days, last few years, I GM for people at conventions who are curious about GURPS but have never played. Or maybe online, the same, people who want to give it a try. But so they're newcomers. And they love it. It's super simple. I have a bunch of pre-gens with maybe 6 or 8, maybe 10 if we're going crazy, skills, reasonable attributes, maybe some fun powers. And when they want to do something, I just give them a target number, they roll 3d6, and we narrate the story from there. It's great. By the end of that game, either they like it or they don't. I honestly can't remember, maybe just selective memory, I honestly can't remember a player just being like, oh, that's terrible. Like, I'm never going to play that game. I don't understand why it even has fans. This never happened. They always seem interested. They always seem surprised that it's much, much simpler than they've been led to believe. So that's the first game. And then if they like it and they stick around, well, they want to make their own character, of course. So you can kind of work with them as the GM. And they'll generally do something simple, a class, really, a D&D class, something very archetypical. So I want to play a knight, or I want to play a private detective, something like that. And then they're hooked. They just love it. And then once they understand all that GURPS can do, everything that it brings to the table, they just go nuts. I want to play a 2,000-year-old chipmunk. And I don't want to move from host to host by eating brains and driving them around like a car. Okay, GURPS can do that. Cool, let's do it. So I agree. It's a barrier to popularity, the fact that the assumed level of detail is fairly high. And the market today just doesn't really seem to dig that. At least at conventions, the people that I see, the new people that I see anyway, the younger folks, they're looking for story-based games, narrative games, quick, sit at the table and go. And then if they want to do an ongoing, in-depth campaign, then maybe they'll look at something with a little more crunch. So it makes me happy to show people that GURPS can be used a lot simpler. The next thing I found interesting was Crom was asked basically what kind of GM he is, how he GMs his home campaign. His answer was, as a GM, I am definitely a quick, light GM. I don't really like sticking my nose in the rules. Frankly, I think rules are never good for a game. I definitely make judgment calls rather than look at the rules. I definitely do not plan things too far ahead. But when the player suggests a better idea than I had in mind, even if that would wreck the world, I'm so player-centric I'd go with it and we'd all have fun. To me, that is really, really good to hear. I try to run my games in a very similar way. I love the GURPS rules, obviously. I spend a lot of time constructing things outside of the game, using the rules, mechanical type stuff. But when I'm at the table, I've got my 8-sheet GM screen. That's what I run a game off of. If it's not on the screen, I don't care. I'm going to make it up and I'll figure it out later. A bit further on, Crom was asked, would you ever want to publish setting material from your own campaign, or have you already? His answer was, yes, I have already. GURPS Dungeon Fantasy was based to a very, very large extent on my Dawn of Magic campaign. GURPS Action was basically based on my experiences with the Company campaign, which was this secret agent type thing I did. And in fact, the templates and basic action rules were my notes for that campaign. So again, I mean, I just want to say that's Awesome. Like that is, he's pretty much living my gamer dream right there. He's running his home games, he's doing his thing, and then he transforms them into stuff that he can share and publish, and in his case, actually contribute to the great GURPS canon, you know, things that reflect his personal GMing style. And Prom was then asked, what proportion of Theater of the Mind to Tactical Grid do you play? His answer was, for the most part, I really prefer tactical fights. I think that it's kind of dishonest to the players to hand wave something like that because the characters could die if they don't see what's going on and they don't have a clear picture, or it's not the same as your picture. Which said, when I ran my action type campaign, I did all that Theater of the Mind style because, well, firearms, generally at pretty long ranges. And I discovered quickly that that doesn't fit well on a map. It's just too many different scales at once. So I get that. He mentioned that that particular group had an agent using a sniper rifle. All the agents had pistols. One was a knife guy. The other guy used to throw grenades. There was all kinds of ranges that came into play. And so on a how many hexes do you get on a battle map? You know, maybe 30, 40, 50 on a huge one. So when you're talking ranges of 150, 200 yards or more, that's obviously, there are ways around it, but it's going to be awkward. So I'm pretty much on board there with the grid. For me, it's less to do with the player agency. I mean, that's a nice side benefit that everyone can see the common thing. But basically, I like them just because it's less work for me. I don't have to describe the logistical stuff about what's sitting where and who's next to who. You know, I can focus more on the creative stuff and what's going on with the story and all that kind of thing. And the different scales thing, that's another reason I prefer to use the range bands instead of the full speed size range table. Plus, since I'm usually pretty keen to keep things as streamlined as possible, that plays into the range bands from Action 2 Exploits and Monster Hunters 2, the mission, rather than using the full table, the full size speed range table. They just break it down into four or five bands. You have short range, medium range, and long range, and I much prefer that. And the last question Crom was asked, I think a lot of people will find interesting. He was asked, how do I know if I'm ready to write something for GURPS? Crom's answer was, I think the wish list is the wrong thing to look at first. If you want to know if you're ready to try writing something for GURPS, you should look at the template we have for our supplements and our writer's guide and our writer's guidelines. I think that you have to be backwards, frontwards, sideways familiar with everything that's in there, even if it's long, even if it's boring, even if it's technical, before you should even think about writing for GURPS. Obviously, I have a little experience with that, having written How to Be a GURPS GM, and I'll be honest, formatting text for publication is a huge pain in the ass. It's fiddly, it requires a lot of focus and concentration. But having said that, it's not impossible. It's not like you're trying to repair a helicopter out of a manual or something. It's basically just a Word template, has all the styles in it. So if you're writing a table, you just copy and paste the table style and make the changes. If you're creating a new advantage, it's all in there. It's all in the template and it explains all that stuff. So it is annoying. It can be tedious, but remember, a huge part of the value that you as a freelance writer are bringing to a company is that you can do this. You can format your own work, or at least get it a good 75-80% of the way there. They want someone, as most companies do, I imagine, who not only has good gaming ideas and can follow the basic rules of grammar and write a sentence that people can understand, but also has the ability to follow the instructions to format things the way that company needs. That was my experience. When I first opened that template, I was pretty disheartened and I thought, wow, there's no way I'm going to be able to do this. But the editors were super helpful. It wasn't as bad as I thought it would be, but it does take some time and there is a learning curve. Having said all that, by all means, please don't let any of that discourage you. You know, you don't need to be a particle physicist to write for Steve Jackson Games or anyone. You just need to be able to learn to end all your stat lines and lists of traits with periods. So if you got some ideas, if you see things on the wish list that you have a passion for and some knowledge about, and you're willing to write them and follow the formats, yeah, do it. Send a query letter and get things going. So anyway, that's all I have for the Crom AMA. A few more episodes will be coming up as I put together some notes. Till then, I'm Mook. Long live GURPS.